Welcome to our study of the book of Hebrews here on the Radio Bible Course. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. And here we have a problem passage. The writer has been telling us about Abraham's faith, how he obeyed God. He went to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, but he lived in that land of Canaan as a temporary dwelling and had his hope set on a city above, a city that God would build. It is called the heavenly Jerusalem. And the destiny of the Christian is also above, where Christ is. Christ is in heaven. He's alive. He's the head of the church. And he's the intercessor at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in the place of honor, the highest honor. And that is our destiny. But now we come to verse 11, and it says, "By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." Is this a problem passage, verse 11? Do you believe that Sarah had faith? That's not the impression given in Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. Listen to it and see if it sounds as though Sarah had faith. The context is about three visitors appearing to Abraham. And they asked, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." We get the distinct impression from the account in Genesis that Sarah just didn't believe that this would happen. But what about Hebrews 11, verse 11, that says, "By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive"? There is a translation difficulty here. First, the literal Greek translation is "received power for the deposition or foundation of seed." But Hebrews 11 verse 11 says she received by faith power to conceive. If conception were meant, another Greek word would have been used, and it's the Greek word which is used in Luke 1 in reference to Elizabeth and Mary becoming pregnant. But the deposit of seed, which the literal Greek gives us, is a male function, not the mother's. Since Abraham is the subject of the context, the verse should read, according to F.F. Bruce of the University of Manchester, it should read, "By faith he also, together with Sarah, received power to beget a child when he was past age, since he counted him faithful who had promised." Now we move on to verse 12, and this follows quite naturally if Abraham is the subject of verse 11, as F.F. Bruce suggests. We learn in verse 12, which says, "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." We learned that Abraham had faith to believe that God's power could enable an old man and an old woman who could not, because of age, have a child, to be changed miraculously to have a son. Both were as good as dead in respect to producing a family. Neither Sarah nor Abraham, who was at this point 99 years old, needed to sit in the therapeutic salt waters of the Dead Sea or to go on a special diet to become potent. God promised them a son, but God did not need their help. Faith meant waiting for God to do it. Did Abraham wait, and did he have faith? Romans chapter 4, verse 18 expresses it this way. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham's faith then, according to the text, was waiting for God to do something. He was depending upon God to fulfill his promise. And what he got is like what we get when we get eternal life. We are born from above, not by what we try to do for God or how we change our lifestyle. If we think we can do something to get eternal life, we won't place our faith in God's promise. And that's a problem, a major problem, that people have in regard to salvation, because they have been given the clear impression that since a Christian ought to be doing good works, that therefore if I want to become a Christian, I will start doing good works, or I will change my lifestyle. And oftentimes the gospel is confused with reformation. The gospel promises what God has done for men. It does not ask men to reform until after they have believed. And then by the power of God, God helps the believer to reform and to mend his ways. All of us are as impotent as Abraham and as dead as Sarah's womb in regard to achieving eternal life by our human effort. Abraham and Sarah received a son from above. He was called Isaac, the child of promise. And Paul the Apostle tells us in the Epistle to the Galatians that we, like Isaac, are children of promise. That means our new life also comes from above. We call it being born again, or born from above. It's a spiritual birth, but it's all because of the work of God, not our work. This subject is so greatly misunderstood that I think the day will never come when we do not have to call attention to how much the Scripture has to say about what man cannot do to get eternal life. I'm reminded of Paul writing to Titus, and he said, "He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Well, that's all God's work. But God never saves anybody because they're good. He doesn't look down, searching the world for good men to whom he might give eternal life as a reward. Quite the contrary. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he pointed out to them that we must stop working, because God justifies the ungodly through faith. Nowhere does the Bible say that God justifies the godly. Now, many people think they are godly, or they might think they are not too ungodly, and therefore they are candidates for salvation. Now, you are savable regardless of what your condition is, because Jesus Christ died for all sinners for all time, and he has solved the problem of sin. But no one is worthy, not even to the smallest degree. God saves through faith alone, and the condition of the person, whether moral or otherwise, has nothing to do with it. When someone comes to God and believes God's promise, then he becomes like Abraham, and God then can work. God gives new life from heaven to everyone who believes in him. Now, you've heard that so many times, and perhaps you say, I really don't know what he means by believe. Believe means to trust in completely, to depend upon someone else for something. It means to have complete confidence in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us. And then it means to accept the promise of God and to rely upon it, to depend upon it, and to depend upon nothing else. Faith in the Bible is exclusive. It tells people to believe God and to believe no one else in regard to salvation. And when you have done that, God saves you. God is looking for people who will believe him. He's not looking for people who will work for him. God can do everything himself. He doesn't need us. But he sent his son here to save us, and the only way he can save us is by his own law of faith. He has determined that the just shall live by faith. Now, if you want to be just in his sight, then it'll have to be through faith, and that means believing what God has promised. And, of course, the promise of God is all focused on the cross. Jesus Christ himself talked about it before he was crucified. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The Apostle John tells us that God did not want anyone to perish. He really didn't need to tell us that, because the very fact that God sent his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins is enough proof that God did not want us to perish. God wants to save us. He loves us. We are made in his image, and he wants us forever. Have you written for a copy of our free book, Heaven's Password? We wrote it to clarify how men and women can get God's free gift of eternal life. A gift is something received without effort, with no strings attached. Heaven's Password will help you to understand God's free gift. Write for your copy today to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for Heaven's Password. It's free. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.